Welcome to a burning fire. Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. In other lessons, we have shown the philosophy of liberalism and modernism, its claims and its denials. And we've discussed a number of matters that have even arisen in the church pertaining to the disrespect for the authority of the Bible, and that's what liberalism is. We wish now to turn our attention to what can and should and must be done about liberalism in the church. Those matters that we have used to illustrate a liberalistic spirit among us are not all that could be used, but these were chosen because these are matters with which we have been personally involved in combating through the years. But first, if we're going to combat liberalism, we must realize that it does exist. I am persuaded that too many brethren have their heads in the sand. They are either pretending all is well or content to remain ignorant of the realities about them, hoping that some way or another it'll all just go away. Well, there is no profit in denying what is so obvious. We have not reached the state of total despair or believe liberalism has become so totally dominant among many. But liberals have done well in their wicked cause, and liberalism is eroding the gains that have been made on the behalf of the truth over the years, subverting souls, taking the church more and more into digression and apostasy. And even though bitter attacks are often leveled against those who warn of liberalism, even vicious attacks by some who cry love, deliver us from the kind of love liberals demonstrate, let's be honest with reality. And let's admit, we have a problem in liberalism, and we have it now. Again, we also need to realize what liberalism is. It is heresy. If you do not like labels, such as liberal and conservative and anti and modernist, which do define and describe positions, then the biblical word is heresy. That's what liberalism is. Heresy simply means standing opposed to authority. That defines liberalism and its core. And let us recognize the sources from which it flows. This includes some papers, publishing houses that sell anything and everything if it'll make a profit, from the colleges and especially the Bible departments, some science departments, the modern versions, the sophisticated, self-exalting, egotistical clergymen among us who are not deserving of being called gospel preachers, the so-called scholars, the sideshow artists and the promotionalists who create attractions for great crowds, who attack everything, trying to remove whatever has been, who denounce even the people and their works on the shoulders of whom they have stood, even in churches that have been built by sound teaching. These are the major sources through which this heresy pours. We need to know who they are. And fourth, let us not be negative only and defensive regarding liberalism. Let's go on the attack by teaching the truth on the points of doctrine of Christ that liberalism challenges. Brethren who are taught truth will be able to recognize liberalism when it appears. Our lessons have been an attempt to accomplish that very thing. We must show the difference between right and wrong, truth and error, so that everyone will be able to discern good from evil. We should not continue to use these people whose influence is toward liberalism. We should remove all literature that smacks of liberalism. We should give warnings to churches and to preachers and elderships, whoever, that flirts with liberalism. False teachers do not deserve to be permitted in the pulpits and the classes of faithful brethren. We can keep the perverted Bibles out of the worship services and teaching sessions and never leave an impression in any way that we would imply that we accept them as reliable Bibles. We must discipline those who persist in holding and propagating liberal positions. We cannot obey God if we do otherwise. Some years ago, I wrote an article entitled, "Why Should They Be Among Us?" It was an article dealing with how to handle false liberal teachers that arise in our midst. And I wonder, why should they even be in our ranks? Why should brethren allow them to continue as if they were faithful brethren and faithful teachers? God has provided a manner by which to dispose of those who are determined to teach error. Why do we not follow God's way? This attitude of go along to get along is the attitude with which Satan is pleased because it only produces apostasy. If we wish to get along with God, we cannot expect to get along with those who defy and disobey God by defying His authority, as do liberals. And friend, we need to know our Bible. The surest preventive against subversion from either the left or the right is a thorough knowledge of the truth. No smooth-tongued orator, no personable preacher, no backslapping promoter, no college president, no professor of digression can take the church into error when and if the membership is biblically informed. The taught will recognize error at the first sound of it, and they'll not tolerate its continued proclamation nor support any effort where it is tolerated and promoted. But when brethren do not know what the Bible teaches, they do not keep up with what is happening around them, they can and will be tossed to and fro and taken any direction by the false teachers who are schooled and trained in moving the masses into liberalism. And this same knowledge will prevent you from going to the other extreme of human legalism, where some bind what God is not bound. It will demand of everyone the necessity for authority for what it is said and done and preached and practiced. I make another suggestion. Let us pray fervently and regularly and sincerely that in God's providence His Word and the church will prevail against those who would set it aside for whatever be their reasons, so the oncoming generation will hear and be able to know and obey God's truth. Others fought valiantly that we might know and that we might have the church, and we should never be contempt to do anything less for those that follow after us. God can overrule the false teachers and their false doctrines. We can allow Him to use us in doing that very thing. Friend, we're in a struggle for the continued existence of faithful churches. Liberalism will destroy us if we do not wage our righteous warfare against it. We need God's providential assistance, and we have the avenue of prayer open to us. Also, let us stand by the preaching of truth and the exposure of error. There be more than a few brethren who will not openly teach what is false. What they teach is the truth as far as what they teach. But they will not teach the whole counsel of God and will not attack the devil's deceits, keeping their mouths closed rather than risking themselves. Not only will such people refrain from saying what needs to be said, even from pulpits, they often have disparaging words and belittling attitudes toward those who love the truth and love the souls of people enough to stand up and speak out on the side of the Lord. Such people will, of course, be held accountable for their cowardice and their neglect, because they actually give aid and comfort to the enemies of truth. Friend, don't allow yourself to be numbered among those who fear to be counted on the Lord's side, even if it is unpopular with others. Insist that the leadership and the church where you attend do what the Bible authorizes without addition or subtraction in its work and in its worship. Be a supporter of those things that are right. Let it be known that you are antagonistic toward that which is not according to what is revealed in Scripture. When we love the brotherhood as we ought, we shall not be content to be a silent observer during this crucial battle for the church and the truth and the souls of our children. The attitude of staying above it all is rather disgusting, don't you think? If we can't be a Moses or an Aaron or a Joshua, we can at least be a Hur, one who is upholding the hands of those who are in the front lines fighting the battle for truth. Let it never be said of us that those who defend the truth have to fight a rearguard action because of us and our unwillingness to be involved. Always realize that the best defense is an effective offense. We can carry the battle into the holes of the enemy. We can challenge his heresies and we can expose them. We can so operate a biblically authorized church in a positive and aggressive, productive fashion that those who would speak evil of the truth that we proclaim will be ashamed, because that which we are doing is right and is being done effectively and biblically. When a local church will do what the Bible authorizes and do it with zeal and fervor, there cannot be much that the liberal forces can say and do that will retard it. We can, as Paul admonished, overcome evil with good. We have a work to do, so we need to be about doing it. My dear listening friend, liberalism is the doctrine of the devil. It serves the cause of Satan. It captures souls for Satan. Shall we sit passively and allow Satan to use this vicious, philosophical weapon against precious souls and say and do nothing? The faithful in Christ will rise up as good soldiers of Christ, as many are doing, and we pray the number will continue to grow. And the faithful will enter the fray wholeheartedly, being assured that ultimate victory belongs to those who belong to the Lord, who faithfully serve Him until death takes them from this life. May it be so of each one of us. This has been A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.